You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Wisconsin wakes up here. Back to Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:06 right now. Thank you so much for joining us. Very nicely done, Parker. Papa was a Rolling Stone. If you were listening to the show within the show, Brian, we were talking about...
I was not.
We were talking about music radio and songs that were really nice if you did oldies radio, because most songs in oldies radio were so darn short. You needed a few of those 8 minutes, Papa was a Rolling Stone, Hey Jude, American Pie. That felt like a vacation when those would come on.
Yeah, those were the ones where you could schedule your bathroom break.
That's right. You could do numerous things because you learn to work very quickly and efficiently with only 1.5 to 2 minute songs. And when you got a nice 7 minute song in there, that was a luxury. You could do a lot of things. You fit in good stuff.
Yes, we definitely do. Well, it is Daybreak. It's 7:07, and that means you're getting ready for work or school, mm-hmm. or getting the kids off to work, and you're thinking, oh, there's got to be some more stuff I need to know. Well, you're in luck.
It's a wake-up call in more ways than one. Time for some you need to know.
Yes, it is time for stuff you need to know. I was reading one of our texts when I should be paying more attention.
I was too. I was doing the same thing.
That's the text line. We're glad you're texting in at 855-752-CIVIC. No, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I don't even know if that's what I said. Listen, it's time to give a little stuff you need to know. The president was talking again. He said he's holding off on a military strike on Iran planned for today because, quote unquote, serious negotiations are underway to end the war. Stop. Trump made the announcement in a social media post on Monday. Of course he did, after threatening over the weekend that time was running out for Iran to strike a deal or fighting would renew. Last week, he said a fragile ceasefire was on life support and U.S. forces exchanged fire with Iranian forces. He is the ultimate boy who cried wolf.
Yeah.
I'm going to lay down all these deadlines and then I'll back off them right away. The president, who had not previously disclosed that he was planning for a strike on Tuesday, which means it came as a surprise to everybody, did not offer details about the planned attack in his Monday post, of course not, but said he instructed the U.S. military, quote, to be prepared to go forward with a full large-scale assault on Iran on a moment's notice. Yeah, doofus, they're deployed. They're always, right, since you sent them there, they have been prepared for an assault nonstop. That's what they do. That's their job. They're really, really good at it. Trump's been threatening for weeks that the ceasefire struck in mid-April could end if Iran did not strike a deal, with shifting parameters for striking such an agreement. Over the weekend, he warned, quote, for Iran, the clock is ticking. They better get moving fast or there won't be anything left of them. How dignified and presidential, sir, to go on social media and try to be a diplomat that way. He said he was calling off the planned strike at the request of allies in the Middle East, including the leaders of Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates. He has repeatedly set deadlines for Iran and then backed off, but he's also in the past indicated he would hold off on military action to allow the talks to continue, only then to turn around and launch strikes. So, once again, do they all think we're stupid and don't remember? Yes, they do. They think we don't care. So in recent days, Trump's spoken with Benjamin Netanyahu and Chinese President Xi Jinping about the Iran war. And, of course, his post caused the price of oil to fall, which had been rising with the prospect of a prolonged standoff. Stop, oil markets. Why are you doing this? Why do you jump at every little thing he says? He woke up yesterday and went, I should probably... I feel it in my gut. I need to send a threatening text.
Well, new polls came out that showed people were even uneasier than a month ago about gas prices and the economy. And so he had to do something to combat that. So with diplomacy by a tweet, he was able to lower the oil prices once again.
Is he that dumb? It's not changing. The gas is still going to be the same price.
Short-term gratification, right? Like,
it's all the stock market for his billionaires. And he's probably telling people, and I'm sure this is going to come out, I'm assuming this. This is not fact. This is my opinion. But every time he does that, somebody's making money in the stock market.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
I'll just leave it there. Somebody's making money on these haphazard tweets that he puts out that everybody seems to be surprised about. Oh, we were doing an attack on Tuesday? What?
It's a benefit to the inner circle, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's what this administration has done. Everything is to benefit the inner circle and the people who donate to this particular president and the Republican Party. That's what this is about. It doesn't matter about the kitchen table economics for you and me. That's not what this is about. They don't care that we can't afford gas or groceries or electricity bills or healthcare, home prices, whatever. The list goes on and on. They don't care about that. They only care about their own stock portfolios and getting richer. Why the rest of us try to figure out how we're going to make ends meet on a daily basis. That's what.
Well, he said it last week. He doesn't think about anybody else. So, if they tell you what they are, believe them. What else do we need to know this morning, Jamie?
Well, we're going to bring it closer to home because the Wisconsin Elections Commission turns out they were wrong to order Madison to remove 23 late arriving absentee ballots from its count. That's according to a Dane County judge and a ruling that was made last Thursday. Ordering the city to count these 23 ballots in the soon-to-be-certified Wisconsin Supreme Court race. The ruling comes in response to a lawsuit that was brought by two of those 23 voters who alleged that the Wisconsin Elections Commission unconstitutionally ordered Madison not to count the ballots. We talked about that, right? When this happened and this case came to light, we were like, hey, what about the voters? Well, it turns out that the absentee ballots at issue arrived at the polls after 8 p.m., if you remember the backstory.
Yeah, just a couple of minutes after 8 p.m.
It was.
Literally.
And it was a delay that city officials say was caused by election administrator error. State law requires that absentee ballots, quote, be delivered to the polling place no later than 8 p.m. on election day. Now, this lawsuit alleged that it would be illegal to disenfranchise properly cast votes over election officials' errors. I kind of agree with that, right? Voters who comply with every element that is required for them to vote, a special absentee vote, and then not being allowed to have the votes count is contrary to what good law in Wisconsin has been. That is a statement by Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell, and that was the statement from the bench. The ruling came after an hour-long back and forth between attorneys for the Wisconsin Elections Commission and the plaintiffs over the rights of voters when election officials commit errors. Now, in briefs and in court, lawyers for Law Forward, who represented the plaintiffs, referenced several past rulings in the state that they say established a long-running precedent that voters can't be deprived of their constitutional voting rights due to election officials' errors. Now, in ordering Madison, and Dane County not to count the ballots weeks after the election, the Wisconsin Elections Commission argued that state law simply doesn't permit late arriving ballots to count, even as some commissioners expressed ambivalence about that rule and reluctance about disenfranchising voters in the process. Now, it does remain at this point unclear why there was a delay between the ballots' arrival at the election office and their delivery to the precincts for counting. I mean, this
slow line at Culver's drive-thru. I thought he had some more time when he was driving over.
Right?
Got to get a Butterburger.
I had no idea that custard was going to take so long. Should have just ordered the vanilla, not the flavor of the day. But, I mean, I think this is going to be an interesting conversation in Wisconsin because yesterday, if you listen to the show, and again, civicmedia.us or Spotify to hear back past episodes, we talked about the new lawsuit brought by the League of Women Voters because in this state, even though there is a statute, I think it's ridiculous that election commissioners can basically choose to treat these absentee ballots however they want, right?
Yeah,
they want to notify someone that there isn't something right, they can. If they don't want to, they can call them, they can email them. I mean, it's really about consistency for the voting process at this point.
And I know this suit was brought by Law Forward, which champions a lot of very conservative causes. And it was also said that none of these votes would change any of the results,
right. But
this will go for everybody.
Yes.
So I applaud this, and it is the right decision. It wasn't those voters' faults. And if you're a Democrat and you're like, no, they shouldn't count those, well, think about if it was on the other foot.
Right.
You know, if a Democratic law firm had brought this case, it doesn't matter who brought the case. The case is valid, and it makes sense. If the election officials screw up for whatever reason,
yeah,
you can't. That's not my fault. I did what you told me to do. And my vote should count.
And I think it, no matter how you vote, whether you're Republican, Democrat, or an independent, I mean, if two voters make the exact same mistake, right, but only one gets notified and it gets allowed to be fixed, or one vote gets counted in one county but not in another, that's not a level playing field for elections. It's right. Just not. And so when people start to feel like the rules aren't the same for everyone, that's when the confidence in the election process starts to erode, and we don't need any more help in that process. This administration has done plenty since 2020 to make sure that we feel disenfranchised as voters. So whatever we can do to make it better, especially in a swing state like Wisconsin.
Very good. All right, one more thing we need to know. A Minnesota county prosecutor yesterday announced charges against an immigration and customs enforcement officer in the non-fatal shooting of a Venezuelan man during the Trump administration's crackdown in the state. The officer, Christian Castro, is charged with four counts of second-degree assault and one count of falsely reporting a crime in the January 14th shooting of Julio Cesar Sosa Celis. Hennepin County Attorney Mary Moriarty said at a news conference a warrant has been issued for his arrest. She said Mr. Castro is an ICE agent, but his federal badge does not make him immune from state charges for his criminal conduct in Minnesota. There is no such thing as absolute immunity for federal officers who commit crimes in this state or any other. Yay. Castro, he's 52. He fired through a home's front door and shot Sosa Celis in the thigh after Castro and another officer chased a different man, Alfredo Alejandro Ayorna, to a Minneapolis apartment duplex where he said Sosa Celis lived. That, according to Moriarty, she noted that both Sosa Celis and Ayorna were legally in the U.S. Oh, then what had they done wrong? Oh, I know. They went outside as brown people. Federal authorities initially accused Sosa Celis and Ayorna of beating an officer with a broom handle and a snow shovel during the confrontation. A federal judge dismissed those charges, and ICE and the Justice Department opened a joint investigation into whether two immigration officers lied about what had happened. Oh, my goodness. Minnesota leaders in the Trump administration have clashed over who has the authority to investigate and prosecute federal officers for on-duty conduct, with the administration suggesting that state officials don't have jurisdiction, to which Minnesota said, oh, really? Let's see about that. So good for Minnesota.
Right? Federal badges doesn't mean you just are immune from everything.
No, the only one with blanket immunity from everything is the president. We know that because the Supreme Court let him have it.
Yeah.
So, but ICE officers don't, but presidents have unlimited immunity from everything.
I hope that the people who championed that realize that that now stands for every president, right? Like, I mean, I know this is besides the point.
Not if there is no other president,
case,
Jamie.
But good for Minnesota. I'm just going to ignore that comment because I don't even want to pretend that that's a conversation today.
Well,
but I mean,
listen,
good for
sometimes
Minnesota.
What's said in jest has a deep seed of reality.
Yes, it does. No, I agree. But I mean, I love that Minnesota is actually doing this, right? They're actually that's doing right. The prosecuting, and that's the good news for all of us.
So listen, wherever I lay my hat, it is my home, and I'm going to lay it on Swipe or Stay, which is coming up next. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian Noonan. She's Jamie Mortensen, and this
you're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
722 right now. We hope that your morning is going well so far. Thank you so much for joining us. It is time for Swipe or Stay. We are going to put a bit of the politics aside for just a few minutes. We're going to dive a little bit more into all of the pop culture with our senior producer, Frank. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I have a fun little anecdote for you all.
Ooh, I like anecdotes.
Yesterday, I said my mother-in-law was in town for the weekend.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And I came upstairs after yesterday's show. She looks at me and she goes, so like, what do you do?
Nice. I'm glad she asked. Nice. Somebody finally had to say
What is it that you do?
What was your answer?
Yeah, what'd you
That's
say?
That's the important part.
I give her the same answer I give everybody. There's a famous Conan O'Brien bit with his previous producer, Jordan Schlansky, mm-hmm. whenever he would ask Jordan, what do you do? And it's always various tasks and duties as assigned to me as producer.
Okay, true.
There you go. I like
it. And then the follow-up for everybody is, so are you on air? And then I go, sometimes, and this is that time. So welcome into Swipe or Stay.
Yeah.
Here's how it's going to work. I'm going to read some pop culture headlines. Jamie and Brian are going to have to decide whether to stay on it and hear more or swipe on to the next one. Parker, you get to break the tie if it comes to it, okay?
Okay.
Really? No fooling? I get to?
Golly
right.
Gee, Mr. Frank.
Gee Wilkers.
Yippee!
All right. Story number one, highly anticipated series already shakes up the cast.
Ooh.
I'm in.
I'll stay.
Any guesses on the show?
Highly anticipated series. No.
It hasn't aired yet.
Oh. No.
All right. So despite not having aired, the upcoming HBO Harry Potter series has already recast the role of Ginny Weasley as they start production on season two.
Season two?
Is there a season one?
Season one's done. Oh. It's going to air on Christmas Day.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
But they're already, because you got these kids while they're young.
Sure.
And each
season
is a different book. So they have to just continuously do the show.
Huh.
So everyone's age appropriate.
All right. Okay.
So HBO released a statement on the matter saying, due to unforeseen circumstances, Gracie, the actress, has made the challenging decision to step away from her role as Ginny Weasley in the series after season one. Now, if you're familiar with the Harry Potter series at all, the second book is where Ginny's story takes an extreme turn and she becomes a very important character throughout the whole series. So for this young actress to drop out before you hit that second season of the show is massive for her career. So I hope everything's well with her.
Yeah.
And it was a personal choice. But, I mean, if you're looking at stardom, that's where you make it.
Is the second one Prisoner of Azkaban?
It's the Chamber of Secrets.
Prisoner of Azkaban
will be season three of the show.
Yeah. Okay. I always get the order confused. All right. Yeah. Well, that's interesting.
Moving on. Disney is under fire for PR stunt.
What
could they have done now? The happiest place on earth?
I like it when the mouse gets in some trouble. I'll stay.
Yeah, I'll stay too. I a little schadenfreude.
So the mouse is getting more and more scrutinized, but not for charging families an arm and a leg this time. Instead, it's for catering to influencers and vloggers. The bane of everybody's existence.
Yes.
So here's what happened. Disney posted on their Instagram a video of parkgoers enjoying the Smuggler's Run ride at Disneyland in the Star Wars area.
Okay.
All of a sudden, the Mandalorian appears and takes his helmet off to reveal it's actually Pedro Pascal to greet everybody.
Okay.
Wow.
The whole room erupts in excitement, as one would. I'd be
pretty
excited.
Sure.
Yeah, I'd like to see Pedro Pascal.
But the fix may be in.
What?
Hardcore fans noticed that the surprise group contained mostly of social media influencers and cosplayers. One digital blogger wrote, "Biggest thank you to the team at Star Wars for making this happen.
Oh,
go see The Mandalorian on the big screen, May 22nd.
Oh, boy.
So it was a publicity stunt.
Boo.
You suck.
Boo.
And of course, in this day and age, if you want to publicize something, you just get the biggest and the best influencers. Yeah.
Well, and there's even, like, if you look it up and go watch the video.
I can't.
And you see, like, I saw a screenshot taken from it, and the over-the-top excited faces.
Well, so they don't know how to act, what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't
even
have to do much research, where it's like, oh, my God, Pedro Pascal, is that the real Grogu, Baby Yoda?
Oh, my gosh.
think I just made myself dizzy doing influencer face.
Oh. You looked good,
you
though.
We're
still working on your TikTok.
I was going to say, yeah, there's no duck face in there yet. I mean, you got to do the duck lips.
Not
at
yet.
Some point.
No, that'll make a comeback. But yeah, oh, everybody's pissed off at Disney yet again, just a different reason.
All right.
Wow.
Classic right. comedy film gets the green light for a new series.
Oh.
Are there no original ideas?
No.
Sidebar?
There's
no,
not.
There aren't.
There's not. Not right now.
For a series. You know what? I'm a TV addict. Yes, I'll stay, Frank.
It's like this is Brian's wheelhouse. I'm shocked if he doesn't stay.
I'm staying.
Brian, I thought of you while writing this one. So,
thank you.
I think you'll agree with me. There are some movies that are rites of passage for viewing, especially in the comedy sphere, right?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
One of those movies is Young Frankenstein.
Mm. Frankenstein.
Frankenstein. And they are getting a series now.
Ooh.
What?
Yes. Very Young Frankenstein is heading to FX as a TV series.
Wait, is that what it's called?
That is what it's called.
Well, that's just stupid.
What?
That's just stupid.
What?
FX Entertainment President Nick Grad said, Very Young Frankenstein blends inspiration from the fan favorite movie with the inventive, irreverent spirit that has defined FX comedies over the years, making this a completely original take on the classic story.
Nothing is original in Hollywood.
Is this Young Sheldon redo?
Basically. But anyway, you may be excited to find out that Mel Brooks will be the executive producer.
Okay.
That's why
there's at least that.
All right. Yeah. Well,
I don't know if he can save it, but at least he's involved.
What brain did I get? Abby Normal. How should we fund schools now that the spending bill didn't pass?
Local voices, statewide impact. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
Good morning, and thank you so much for joining us this morning on the Civic Media Network. Hopefully you're having a great Tuesday. Some clouds in portions of the state this morning, some rain, some thunderstorms moving through. Looks like those are going to be moving out, though. We're going to give way to some cooler temperatures as the week goes on, at least only for a couple of days. Then we're going to warm back up into more spring-like temperatures, let's say. It's 7:30.
Yeah, well, it's Memorial Day weekend. Let's go.
It is. I know. Does Memorial Day seem early this year? It feels very early for some reason.
We're just, this month is blowing by. I'm not going to be that guy. Time goes so fast.
But it does.
My clock is really off because this is the first time in my life that I haven't had school.
Oh, I suppose. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because you would have just been graduating like a year ago.
Yeah.
Wow. That makes sense.
So my calendar is very out of funk.
So in your head, where is it? Where is your?
I have no idea. No
Plus
idea.
You get up before the sun, so
yeah,
that also
that
doesn't
too.
Help. I
yeah.
get it.
If I had to guess, I would say it's probably the start of June. I'm probably three weeks off.
All right. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's just all of a sudden, and maybe it's because, too, we're looking forward to my daughter's wedding in August.
Of course.
And I keep thinking that there's a lot of time.
There's not.
And then it's like, man.
No.
Couple weeks ago, we were like, oh, we still have 3 months. Now it's like, oh, we only have just over two.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're down to 8-9 weeks at this point. Yeah,
I'm like, oh my gosh, here we go.
Yeah, don't think about it like that. Think about it in days. It just seems better when you don't think
it's
about
gonna
it
It's
going
to have to, because once, if I start thinking how close it is, then I'm going to, even though I know everything's in place for my part, all my responsibilities, I'm still going to panic and go, oh. What?
Of course. You want her to have the best day possible. I have succumbed to the fact that I don't think I'll ever get to have a wedding with my kids, which we eloped, so I can't say anything about them. And I would never take that away from them if they decide to. But I just having conversations with them about significant others the last few weeks, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm never going to get the wedding planning process. And that's,
oh, because one of your sons is dating.
He's in Ohio right now.
Okay.
He drove out yesterday. His girlfriend is there. His girlfriend is there. And she will be coming back to live in the great state of Wisconsin with him for the summer. And work in Milwaukee.
Now.
So,
all right.
I'm excited to have her. She lives far enough away, and I've only met her a couple times. I talked to her.
I'm excited to have her as long as she's over there.
I don't get to talk to her that often. She is a four-year nursing student, so I don't get to talk to her that often. So, I'm excited that she's going to be here this summer, and I do get to know her a little bit better and spend some more time with her.
I thought you said I don't have to talk to her very long.
No, I don't.
Parker, isn't that what it sounded like Jamie said?
If I did, that was.
That I don't have to talk to her?
The phrase phrasing was a little.
I'm sorry.
Suspect.
Yeah. Not what it, I actually love her. She's very, very sweet. Don't get me wrong. Bad phrasing. Tired this morning.
It was bad phrasing because I was like, wow, all right, that was a bold statement to make on the air when your son could be listening.
No, he's not.
Say, yeah, I don't have to talk to her much.
No, I don't. What? I don't get to talk to her much, is what I should say, because she is very, very busy. She's a 4.0 student, so I'm very excited that she's going to be here and we get to spend more time with her this summer. And I talk to her periodically when she has time, but it's not very often. So I'm excited for her to be here.
Well, good backpedal, Jamie. Nicely done.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, I was
Freudian slips.
Yeah. Again, everything has a kernel of truth, does it not?
It does.
I don't want to get you in any more trouble. Let's just move on. Because I was thinking of you last week when you were gone and this whole spending bill thing came up. I went, oh, this is Jamie's ballywick. She's missing out on this. We had a lot of great conversations about it. Oh, yeah, I bet. Well, now superintendents from big districts around the state have said this is a mistake and we need lawmakers back at the table because this massive spending plan would have given millions of dollars to schools and you guys killed it in the Senate last week.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of opponents to this bill and we talked to a couple groups that were opponents and a lot of it was, well, this is one-time money and it's not good. And there were a lot of things. But it was a $1.8 billion deal brokered by Governor Evers, Robin Voss, LeMahieu, everybody. They were all in on it in what people are calling a backroom deal. That's how most deals are done. Let's be honest. Putting it out in front of a group and letting everybody squawk in about it, you're not going to get a deal.
They'd still
That's
be
why
brokering
the deal
it.
Gets done. And then you get to, yes, they'd still be trying to.
Right.
At least you got to vote on it. It wasn't passed without you. It was a deal that, you know, stopped.
Yeah, but there always has to be a sense of illusion and secrecy to the whole thing, even if that's how politics actually works.
But come on. They've been debating these issues for how long? Stop with the a deal got made.
And everybody's wanted to figure out how to use that $2 billion surplus. So
now let me ask you this, Jamie, and I was really racking my brain because last week the opponents were like, well, this isn't, we don't really have this money.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wait, this is the first I'm hearing of the we don't really have this money because a surplus means that you have it in hand. You haven't spent it. So when that came out, I was like, wait, we've talked about this so many times. Never has it been, well, we expect to have this surplus. It was always very definitive. We have this surplus money.
Yeah.
Am I off?
No. And I think what I have found interesting about the surplus conversation is that as more and more plans have come out about how this money could be used, what potential, alleviations it could have for Wisconsin residents, it's become less of a, ooh, we certainly have this money, to more, we expect to have this money. And and that's how it's kind of progressed, because let's be realistic, in the middle of an election cycle like we're in and looking at fully new leadership from top to bottom in the state of Wisconsin, Democrats aren't going to want Republicans to think that they have a $2 billion surplus.
They don't want to spend anything now because November could change everything.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that superintendents in Milwaukee, Madison, Kenosha, Racine, and Green Bay said in a joint statement that the compromise proposed by Governor Evers and Republican leadership represented meaningful progress and the bill would have been a step in the right direction. And that was my argument. Sometimes you have to take a short-term win for a long-term issue, and that does not cancel out or solve the long-term issue.
Right.
But compromise is the thing, and people don't on either side. There was nobody wanted to compromise.
No,
nobody.
And I find that intriguing because just about a year ago, maybe a little over a year ago now, that was the whole point of the biennial budget, right? Is everybody was so excited because finally there'd been some compromise. The Democrats finally got to be in the room and they got to have some input. And I know there were people within the Democratic Party that weren't happy about all the terms of that biennial budget and it didn't go far enough. And even Democrats admitted it didn't go far enough in some areas. But there was still compromise because we haven't had that option in this state. So the fact that there was some compromise between Governor Evers and, outgoing Speaker Voss and LeMahieu, I found it interesting, just watching this from afar last week, that Democrats were not on board in any way, shape, or form. And they were the ones making the most noise about not being in the room and this backrooms deal. And right. And so I found it very intriguing just watching and reading and not being here why that was all happening last week.
Well, there was a lot of fancy talk and a lot of spin. But the bottom line is, in my opinion, this was all about, and you touched on it a little bit, this was all about, we want our policies to go through, so we want that money when we take power. Everybody's banking on it.
Yes.
And one of my questions to somebody we talked to was like, all right, devil's advocate, but we're all planning, everybody's planning on a trifecta on the Democratic side. Are you willing to roll the dice and risk that this bill that would have helped, even in the short term,
right,
is still going to be available when and if the Democrats take power? Because if they don't, you're back to square one, and there's a really
right.
good chance you're not getting any of this. So, you
yes.
know, we all want the big problem solved, myself included, but maybe I'm a little more pragmatic, and I look at things and say, sometimes you got to take the deal, and then you move on.
Well, and that was kind of my stance as I was watching this play out from different parts of the country last week, because I was like, okay, didn't we just have a big fight about property taxes and referendums and schools saying that they're not going to be able to have operational
right.
costs and teachers? And doesn't this alleviate that? Maybe keep these schools and these districts from having to do yet another referendum on next year's ballot? I mean,
well, nobody can really say how we're going to get that funding money then without
right.
And that's... It's a question I've asked a couple people. You've asked people. Pardon me. So what are we going to do? And this was not perfect. Yes, it was authored by three people who aren't going to be in office anymore. Yes, it was happening right before an election. Yes, according to Democrats, well, look, the Republicans will be able to say they did this, and so it'll hurt us in the election. I don't think so. I don't think, again, it goes back to Wisconsin voters are not for sale.
Right.
We saw that with the Supreme Court races. We've seen it before. Yes, if you get this done, will they give you a tip of the hat from Democrats to go, hey, that was pretty good? But everybody sees through it.
Right.
The point is, you would still be doing good. You would still be helping. And then you deal with the fallout later.
What I found interesting, and I guess one of the questions I had while I was watching this play out last week, do the Democrats not trust Governor Evers? Like, I know he's outgoing, right? I know
right.
that he's not running again. I know that there is no gubernatorial candidate quite yet on the Democratic side. Do you not right. trust Governor Evers to do what's best? I mean, you've trusted the man for 8 years to do what he's needed to do in office and lead your party
right.
at the state level. All of a sudden, because he's outgoing, you don't trust him to make the decisions?
Yeah, that doesn't seem that. Well, again, it's not that we don't trust him. It's that we want to make the decision.
But you might not have
but
that option.
That's the point. Everybody's acting like it's a lock. And
it's,
it is.
Nothing's a lock.
Come on.
Nothing's a lock. Nothing is ever a lock. It's an election. And in Wisconsin, things go wonky really, really quickly in this state. Now, I understand that we just came off a very successful election. If you were a fan of Chris Taylor's, you're very happy right now.
Sure.
But that doesn't mean that the next election is going to go in your favor. There's a lot of time between now and the midterms. There's a lot of things going on at the national level that could eventually affect the state level of politics as well. Nothing is ever a lock. And let's be clear, I'm going to say this again because this is still a big concern of mine in this election cycle. There are 7 basic primary candidates on the gubernatorial race. There's what, 9 on the Democratic side in the race? There's a couple that don't have as big of a name and haven't gotten as much press also in that race. We have to decide, voters have to decide who that candidate is going to be in just a few months. Then that
yeah.
person only has basically 8 weeks, 9 weeks to run against Tom Tiffany, who's already doing a parade of media and town halls and things all across the state. It's not a lot of time. And I understand polls and maps are a little bit more favoring right now. Nothing is ever a lock because it's politics and it's Wisconsin politics. Things go wonky. I know I could probably use a better term, but I'm not going to because it's Wisconsin politics, right?
Right. So just and anytime you count your chickens,
never do that.
You're you're ready for some disappointment. Let's look back at election night 2016.
Yeah, or right? 2024. All, or
2024. Yes, we all had our chickens counted. And, man, it ended up in, you know, what, a nice Cane's chicken strip.
What worries me about this is that this, I mean, obviously, if these school districts are raising red flags about this deal that they would like to have seen and come to fruition, I mean, this is an impact on homeowners because this means that property taxes still are not going to be stable in this state. And that's right. Something that both parties are going to have to figure out in an election cycle.
Is there a form of expression or art that you would support banning? Interesting. Oh, I asked the old question. I shouldn't say my own question is interesting. It's Daybreak on the Civic Media.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
All facts, no fiction. It's Daybreak with Brian and Jamie.
7:52 right now. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We do appreciate it. Hopefully you're having a great start to your Tuesday. I am Jamie Martinson.
And good morning. I'm Brian Noonan. So is there a form of art or expression that you would support banning? And why are we so afraid of ideas? This is, again, Jamie, a big story last week.
Yes.
You were not around. Everybody waited to make news till you were gone. So this was... This one really had me going last week. I was because I don't know why we have to feel, or some people feel, they need to ban things. We need to ban books. We need to ban thoughts. We need to ban an instrumental piece of music that was only dedicated to somebody who was instrumental in the LGBTQ plus movement. Again, an instrumental, Jamie. I'm not you know music. I'm not giving this tutorial for you. Usually, you give the civics lessons. I'm going to give a music lesson.
Please do.
And Parker, I want you to listen up. There is a difference, Parker, between an instrumental and a song. A song has words, lyrics, if you will, and perhaps a lot of music with lyrics sends messages. People have sung about freedom and protest songs for decades and decades. An instrumental, that's all up to you, whatever's in your head as the music moves you. So A Mother of Revolution is a piece of music that was composed in 2019 by Omar Thomas for contemporary wind ensembles. Again, instrumental. Well, boy, oh boy, oh boy, the Watertown School Board, they heard the letters LGBTQ and they lost their ever-loving minds. They pulled it. They said, you cannot perform this. And now they've doubled down and they are saying, we made the right decision because we voted 7-1 to pull that song from the May 18th program. The piece violated the district's controversial issues policy. First of all, are we still in a time where being gay is controversial?
Apparently so. I thought we'd move past that, but I stand corrected.
Yeah, I mean, right? We're in a different era. I mean, I'm sure there are students in the Watertown School District that are gay. I'm sure they are feeling a little bit more marginalized than maybe they have been. Or maybe there's some kids who haven't come out yet who are struggling with their identity and they see this and like, oh man, see? They don't even want to hear music that doesn't even talk about being gay. It's just the composer dedicated this music to somebody afterward. So they said Sunday they met again and the board continued to defend their decision with a press release stating that the board removed the song due to its celebration of violence because supposedly the woman that the song is dedicated to threw a shot glass that started the big Haymarket riots began. So she threw a shot glass and broke a mirror and then perhaps got into a scuffle with police. Again, somebody's going to have to do a lot of research before, because I've been to these ensemble concerts, as I said last week with my daughter, I have no idea what the pieces are. And you know what? I don't care.
Right.
So I sit there and I enjoyed the music.
Mm-hmm.
And with an instrumental, you're not, I don't know. The idea of being scared by an idea and hiding behind this fake, we're protecting children from controversial right. ideas, when the music teacher had already sent yes. out a letter.
That's the key. I mean, that in October. In yep. October of last year, the band director followed the district's controversial issues policy and sent this note home, letting families know that the class would be studying and preparing this song. At that time, only one family actually objected. And the school board didn't have any objections at the time.
Right. And the family, the letter was, you could opt out. It was yeah. okay. The band leader said, you don't have to play this. And again, it's so simple. I don't right. know why I have to keep repeating this. It's an instrumental. How many people are doing research? And if you're in Watertown and you're so upset by the fact that this song was written and composed and dedicated, this piece of music, I should say, it's by somebody that's gay or it's dedicated to someone who's gay, you really need to do some more self-evaluation yeah. because you are a narrow-minded person who is afraid that
piece of music's going to make my kids gay.
No, it's not. Your kid is gay or they're not gay. That's how it works.
What I love about this is that as of yesterday, hundreds of Watertown high school and middle school students yeah. walked out of class. They did so last week after the board's decision.
Good.
Yesterday, 775 alumni, staff, or former staff, parents, and other community members sent a letter to the school board saying that the band director followed the district's controversial issues policy.
Mm-hmm.
The letter said, public schools exist to help every student learn, grow, and reach their full potential. Decisions made by school leaders should always put students' education, opportunities, and well-being first. I mean, literally, we're seeing this type of censorship, this sort of neutrality, this sort of whitewashing. This is not the first example of this. We're seeing it across the country between the books, the art, classes, history being taught. This is not the first example, and this is why, again, I hate to say it, but this is why your local elections are so damn important.
Well, this is big news. I saw this just this morning, so this is an update. The composer yes. of the piece is coming to Madison to conduct a student performance. He's going to be at an Evangelical Lutheran Church on Wednesday. Doors open at 7 p.m. Omar Thomas is the composer's name. Musicians will include local community members and area students, and he will speak to the audience after the performance, which is going to be live streamed.
Awesome.
So if you want to see it, if you want to support, if you want to stand up to the kind of censorship that should make us all sick, go and enjoy that performance on Wednesday. Hey, WMDX listeners, ta-ta.
Stephanie Miller.
But you can
time.
Always go to the Civic Media app and listen all the way, or download the podcast and see what you're missing in the last hour of the program. This is Daybreak. I'm Brian. She's Jamie. It's the Civic Media Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.